Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, if you'll take your seats, we will proceed with our meeting. Good morning. I want to just announce that the mayor of the city of Dallas, Michael Rollins, is at DFW for a twice-a-week watering press conference with local mayors from Arlington, Irving, and Fort Worth. And so he will join us back here at City Chambers at about 10:30. Today we have doing the invocation is Rayford Butler, the Dallas Police Department chaplain. He has been with the department for a few years, and we all know that our men and women of service definitely need a word of encouragement and a word of prayer, being our first responders. And thank you, chaplain, for being here, and if we all will rise, thank you.
Good morning. Let us come together and pray, please. Almighty God, we in the name of Jesus, we are so thankful that you have allowed us this moment to be assembled here together. It's a joy to know that you have gotten us up this morning, and for that reason we are thankful for our life, our health, and our strength. We pray, Father, today that this council meeting would be the meeting that you have ordained and you ordered from heaven, and that all of us conduct ourselves according to what you have done. It's a joy to know that you love us and care about us. It's a joy to know that you provide for us every single day. You watch over our families, our children, our officials, our police officers, and all that are assembled here. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. For without your grace, we cannot survive. Without your grace, we cannot stand. So thank you, Father, for just being who you are. Help us to acknowledge in all our ways, and you shall direct our path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mr. Griggs, will you lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Chaplain Butler, and thank you, Mr. Griggs. We definitely have a very, very special agenda today in terms of presentations and guests. Before I introduce our special guest, I'm going to recognize Council Member Duane Carraway and Council Member Bonfil Hill. I would like to remind both of them that we do have a special guest, and if the presentations could be succinct and concise as we could possibly make them, we'd appreciate it. Mr. Carraway.
Madam Mayor, thank you so very much this morning. And with us, the ladies in red, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, I would ask our former City Secretary, Ms. Deborah Watkins, if she would please come to the podium and bring the president and the ladies of Delta Sigma Theta that's with us today to please stand while we're going through this procedure. And Madam Mayor, thank you so very much for allowing this opportunity for us to recognize Ms. Watkins and Delta.
It's interesting being on this side of the podium. Mary and I said we were coming back one day, and I didn't know it would be so soon. But good morning, Madam Mayor, to our Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, Mr. Atkins, and to the members of the City Council. We would just like to show our presence this morning, the members of Delta Sigma Theta, and our president, Bobby Sanders, who leads our local chapter, Dallas Alumni, and just share some great information about Delta Sigma Theta Sorority.
Thank you, Deborah Watkins, to the mayor and the mayor pro tem and the members of the Dallas City Council. We, the officers and the members of the Dallas Alumni chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, are happy to be here today. We are committed to public service through five programmatic thrusts: educational development, economic development, physical and mental health, international awareness, and political awareness and involvement. We look forward to a continued partnership with the City of Dallas. We have established partnerships with many of the council members here, and we look forward to establishing additional partnerships and providing consistent service to our communities. We have been involved in Dallas County, Dallas City for over 87 years, and we're going strong. So thank you very much for having us, and we look forward to our continued partnership.
And thank you. And Madam Mayor, let me just read this special recognition into the record on behalf of us here at the City of Dallas. Whereas in 1924, Frederica Chase Dodd, one of the 22 Delta Sigma Theta National founders, organized the chapter and served as its first president. Today, over 300 members and inheritors of a remarkable legacy of greatness, the Dallas Alumni Chapter has withstood the test of time. The chapter has risen high on the waves of public service and has successfully effected many positive changes throughout our local community. Let me say that the president has so very stated that some of the great things that the organization, the sorority, has accomplished, and I will say, therefore, I, Dwayne Caraway, council member, on behalf of the City of Dallas and our entire City Council, we do extend special recognition to the number one sorority in the United States of America and the world, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. So thank you all, and Judge, and each and every one of you. And let me remind you, I am a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway, thank you so much. And we appreciate you coming down, and thank you very much for your service.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Watkins, I just have one special note. I'd like to say congratulations to my colleague, Rosa A. Rios, as the new City Secretary for the City of Dallas. Congratulations, Rosa.
Thank you, Ms. Watkins. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Watkins, it is great to see you and the ladies in red, and how appropriate for an alpha woman, Alpha Kappa Alpha, the first Greek letter African-American women's organization, to be able to say good morning to you. You are the number one sorority after Alpha Kappa Alpha. It's good to have you. Madam Mayor and Council, I always want to be cognizant of recognizing our outstanding city employees. I have the privilege of chairing the Trinity River Corridor Project Committee, and one of our employees has received special recognition. I wanted to bring him before the full council and the public because of his hard work and this special recognition. I'm going to ask Steve Parker to come and stand at the podium while I say just a few words about him. He is a very shy employee, and he begged me not to do this, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Steve Parker was recently honored by the Texas Floodplain Managers Association as the 2012 Floodplain Manager of the Year. Additionally, in May of 2012, he was honored by the Association of State Floodplain Managers, which is a national organization, as the 2012 National Floodplain Manager of the Year. Steve Parker graduated from Texas A&M with the civil engineering degree. He has been with the City of Dallas for 26 years, and for the past 15 years, he led the Floodplain Management Division of the Trinity Watershed Project. Those who have worked with him know that his knowledge of floodplain management is extensive, and his knowledge and history of Dallas floodplains is unmatched. His leadership in this division has been instrumental in having FEMA lower the City of Dallas's community rating from 7 to 5. The lower rating enables the property owners, this is significant, it enables our constituents, our taxpayers, to get a 25% discount, which used to be a 15% discount, on their floodplain insurance. And that insurance is very, very expensive. So, Mr. Parker, thank you for the work you've done. Thank you for what you've done for our citizens and for us and for the Trinity River Project. There is a certificate of excellence which will be presented to you by my office a little bit later on. But again, please accept my thanks on behalf of the Dallas City Council.
Thank you very much, Judge Hill, and members of the council. I appreciate this.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins.
again, thank you, Von Steele, for that great time, and Mr. Parker, and I just got to give him a kudos for my district over there with Flood work, with working with the community. Again, thank you for the work you've been doing with the City of Dallas. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. And before I introduce a special guest, I definitely want to give congrats and kudos to Ms. Angela Hunt, Mr. Sheffy Cadane, Ms. Delia Hassel, and Mr. Griggs for really being promoters and advocates of having a vibrant city, a great city to cycle in. And as I said, it's special today because we have Gil Benalosa is the executive director of the Canadian nonprofit organization 880 Cities and former commissioner of Parks, Sports, and Recreation in Bogota, Colombia. He is also senior consultant for the Danish firm Gilt Architects and serves on the boards of directors of American Trails, Ciclovias of the Americas, and City Parks Alliance. We are going to have a special treat because he will speak to the council and the audience for about 40 minutes. Today at noon, he will be speaking to staff members here at City Hall, and also tonight at 6 p.m., he will speak to members of the public, cycle advocates, and the public is definitely invited back here at City Hall. They're going to have presentations. He will have presentations and workshops here at 6 p.m. at the council chamber. It's open to anyone who would like to attend, and it is free of charge. So thank you very much. Before we bring Mr. Benalosa, Mr. Griggs, Mr. Cadane, or Ms. Ahasa, would any of you like to speak? Okay. Ms. Ahasa.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And to Gil Benalosa, welcome to Dallas. I know you've been all around our great state of Texas, and so we welcome you, and we're so honored to have you here. You and I met in Seville, Spain, during the conference there where we learned so much about what a bicycle-friendly city can do and can be. Let's just hope that this talk that you give us today will get us and set us on the continuing track to continue to make Dallas a bicycle-friendly city. Again, we're very honored to have you here. We know all the good work that you have done throughout this country and other countries, and we're all ears, and we're going to soak up everything you tell us. So once again, thank you for accepting our invitation to come and speak with us and tell us your ideas on bicycle-friendly cities. So thank you very much.
Council, thank you very much. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Thank you so much, Mr. Hinojosa, for being here. Listen, this is very important to our city, what we're doing with our bikes and implementing this plan. I'll tell you, I'd love for you to take a look at our Dallas plan. Maybe you already have. And just let us know what you think of it and if we're heading the right direction and make sure we're on the right track. Because we're very involved in moving forward on this and trying to get the bikes on the trails and in our streets and slow down the auto traffic. So thank you so much for being here with us today. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Certainly welcome to the City of Dallas. I had the opportunity back in October of 2009 to visit Gill and Associates in Copenhagen, and it was a wonderful experience to spend the afternoon with them at their offices. They were so generous with your time, and I think you've continued that now by being here and being generous with your time. So welcome.
Thank you very much. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Benalosa, good morning. I was speaking with Angela Hunt last night, and she wanted me to tell you how much she appreciated you arranging her wonderful trip to Colombia, and also that she wanted so much to be here today, but her baby is only 2 weeks old, and so she could not be here today, but wanted you to know how much she appreciates you being here and speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Ms. Grayson. And Jill, again, welcome to Dallas. I know that when Ms. Hassa and I traveled to Spain last year, it was inspiring
that people were exercising all over the world, that at the same time they were helping with traffic congestion, with the environment, that it was fun, and especially nowadays with gasoline so high, that you were actually helping families, you know, save definitely some money. I recall this smart sign in Seville, Spain, and everyone was going to La Torre de Oro, and there was buses and cars, and they were saying by bus it was like 14 minutes, by car it was 20 minutes, and they go by VC, which is the bicycle, 7 minutes. So if anything, that smart sign told us a lot in Seville, Spain, that you could get there a lot quicker, and you were doing it in a fun way, doing exercise and also helping the environment. So it was a very holistic approach. Thank you very much and welcome.
Thank you very much. It was great meeting you in Seville, and it's an honor to be speaking here at the Dallas City Council. And I think that, and actually, similar to Seville, has a very similar weather than Dallas. And actually, this morning at the hotel, someone said, "Oh, Gil, you know, we cannot really bike in Dallas because it's too hot." And actually, that reminded me a little bit of when I was in the Caribbean, and they used to tell me, "Oh, we cannot walk because it's too hot, or we cannot bike here." And then I was doing some work there, and I flew back to Canada. And then in Canada, they told me that it was too cold. The weather is always an excuse. But in many ways, we got to learn from the Danish. They said there's no such thing as bad weather. It's just bad clothing. So we got to dress appropriately and move from there. And I want to tell you, so this is about changing minds. And it's about creating new opportunities. In my previous life, I was Commissioner of Parks, Sports, and Recreation in Bogota. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Bogota. Not because I think Bogota is ideal or is better than Dallas. I wish. No, but Bogota was a city that was going hopeless, and now at least it's hopeful. It's made a turn. And also to let you know that I've not only been on the side of being advising cities, but I've also been on the other side doing, and also to show that it's not about the money. Because people always say, "Oh, we don't have the money." But Bogota has about 1/8 the per capita income that Dallas has. Like, I went and I found places like this park. The Pope came and gave a mass in 1968 to 1 million people. And then afterwards, the city just put a wire fence and nothing was. There was no sidewalk, no paths, no bench, nothing. Only a few trees were planted. And in 36 months, we transformed this 888 acres into this wonderful people place. We built bikeways and sidewalks and places where people could run and walk, and all these gigantic playgrounds and areas for events and for concerts. Things that people could do, organize activities, but also things that people could do at their own time and at their own pace. And people of all ages, and getting aerobics here. We got 35,000 people doing aerobics at the same place and doing different things in the same venues. And again, bicycle activities and recreational and mountain biking. And it's a park that is very, very well used. But in addition to parks like this one, I also love linear parks, because linear parks connect. Like, for example, on this one that is 18 miles across the city, we began in one of the wealthiest parts of the city, and the people wanted flower shops, so we put flower shops, and then we started, and along the road we put places where people could do gymnasiums and restaurants and wayfinding and separating pedestrians and cyclists so that we don't create conflicts. And it ends in one of the poorest areas of the city. This is before, and this is after, where we did a linear park all around it and many neighborhood parks. And actually, we interconnected one of the poorest places of the city with one of the wealthiest. And actually, while I was commissioner, we built 5 metropolitan parks, 50 zone parks, and over 250 neighborhood parks. We also built over 174 miles of physically separated bikeways. And we went from 28,000 to over 350,000 cyclists. And these are some of them in between the buildings. Others are along the roads. Some ones in the middle of the city. And then something that is interesting is that in some of these places, it's very important to create a grid. because people will not use the bike if you don't connect places of origin to places of destination. So we need to create a grid. And in some of these places, we're so poor that even if you watch Nightmare in Dallas, you cannot even think of it. There is no pavement and no sidewalks. But nevertheless, look at the quality of the pedestrian areas and the cycling and the cars. And we have to be consistent between what we think, what we say, and what we do. Because if we're going to say that pedestrians first and then cyclists and then cars, then we didn't have money for all three of them. So we have money either for pedestrian and cycling or for cars. And we chose the first two. Someday another administration will put the pavement for the park, for the cars. And then we planted some trees, and then we transformed a little bit how these people were living. And then Ciclovia was reborn. What is the Ciclovia? Ciclovia is wonderful for any community of any size. It's basically on Sunday, we open the streets to the people, and we close them to cars. From 7 a.m. till 2 p.m., we create a network of over 70 miles. Where people come and walk and bike and run and skate, and we interconnect all the major parts of the city. And along the road, we also do other activities because not everybody wants to walk or bike or skate. So we have aerobics, and we have Tai Chi, and we have wall climbing and skateboarding and activities. And so it's really nice because you get the young and the old and the rich and the poor and the tall and the skate, everybody. We get over 1 million people every Sunday of the year. And the city of Bogota is just a little bit more than the metropolitan area of Dallas-Fort Worth. It's about 7 million, so it's just 500,000 more. Currently, I'm executive director of A2AD Cities, which is a Canadian non-for-profit. And one of the nice things is that I go over the world learning from people, learning from places. Let me give you only three examples. Tonight and in the afternoon, I'm going to show others. But, for example, in Mexico. I was invited in Mexico to work with a developer. And one of the things of the, why am I showing this developer? Because people say it's about the money. No, it's not about the money. This is a developer that built houses of $20,000. The most expensive is $45,000. And actually, this developer, you know, 4 years ago, they had not built 1 inch of bikeway. And in the last 3 years, they have started to build bikeways. And you know, for example, all of the public places, now we're putting the public places Wi-Fi, and all of them have free internet, and people are taking care of the parks. 4 years ago, they hadn't built 1 inch of bikeway. And then I said, look, you build houses that are 400 square feet. So when you live in a house of 400 square feet, you barely sleep there. But you live outside. So then you really need to have better sidewalks and better parks and better streets. And they started building bikeways, and now they have built over 100 miles of protected bikeways. That's more than the three largest cities of Mexico. And 2 years ago, I said, you know, why don't you give a bicycle to everyone who buys one of your houses as a signing bonus? And they thought about it for 20 minutes, then they made the decision, and they have given away 102,000 bicycles. And this is just one developer. So these are some of the things that they are doing, and they are transforming some of these communities. And these were the first bikeways they did. They call it the first generation. And this is the second generation where there's area for pedestrians, physically separated from bikes, physically separated from cars. And then now they're working on the third generation that is in the middle of the buildings, and it's something that is quite nice. And before everything was one story, now they're building almost everything three and four stories. And it's really, really safe because, you know, when people are walking, there's lots of ice on the street, like James Jacobs used to say. So that is what generates community, and it's safety. And, you know, for example, this neighborhood has all of these public pools. I live in Toronto. In Toronto, the average house is $600,000. These are 20,000. And in Toronto, we're closing public pools because we don't have budget to maintain the pools. And here they got all of these public pools all over the place. But let's switch continent. In Changi Stream, in Korea, in Seoul. In Seoul, they have this river that went through the middle of the city. So what did they do? They built a road on top of the river. 6 lanes. What happens when you build 6 lanes? It got full. When it gets full, what do? They do a second story. When they had a second level, people said, why don't we do a third level? And the mayor thought about it, but there is no city in the world the size of Dallas that has all the issue of mobility through the private car. None. And thousands have tried it over the last 60 or 80 years. The only way is through public transit, and public transit is not going to pick you up in front of your house and drop you off in your place of destination, so they're going to be walkable and bikeable. And that was the thought of the mayor in Seoul. So instead of building a third level, what he did, this that went right through the middle of the city, he tore it down. He brought down the river, and he created a wonderful linear park. And obviously, it was difficult initially. Not everybody was in favor. Some people thought that, you know, oh, now we're going to lose the clients. As if people going at 60 miles per hour, we're going to stop to buy coffee. And actually, now it's so successful that even when they did the G20 2 years ago, that's where they took President Obama and everyone, because they love this linear park, and now it's vibrant and booming, and there's new things. And by the way, the person who built the elevated highway was this person that is the CEO of Hyundai Corporation. The CEO of Hyundai Corporation, he built the second level. In 2002, he was elected mayor of Seoul. And as mayor of Seoul, then he took it down in 2005. It was risky, it was gutsy, but it paid off, because now he's the president of South Korea. So maybe we got to be gutsy. And let's go to another continent, Australia. I went to Australia, and I thought I was going to bike into Russell Crowe. Actually, I was more hopeful. I thought I was going to bike into Elle Macpherson. But I wasn't so lucky into either one. And actually, but you learn from everyone. I bike into this one. But you also learn. I learned an acronym, the MAMELS. And I say, what is a mammal? And they say, oh, it's the middle-aged men in Lycra. But even those middle-aged men in Lycra are going to live healthier and longer, and that's just a myth, because the reality is people that bike is people like everybody else. It's people like you and me and our children and our parents and so on. And look at some of the things that Sydney is doing. All of a sudden, Sydney is not promoting bicycles. No, Sydney is thinking, look what they're creating physically separate. They used to have painted lines. And with painted lines, people did not use them, only a very few people. So they needed to create a physical barrier. And that is what the mayor, Clover Moore, is doing in Sydney. And Clover Moore says that it's not about cycling. It's how to reduce emissions, how to reduce congestion, and how to improve public health. And then all of a sudden, because she's also worried, you know, what if Melbourne beats him? So Dallas is also competing with cities all over the world. Now I want to tell you about Melbourne, because Melbourne last year was recognized as the most livable city in the world by The Economist. 20 years ago, Melbourne would not have been in the top 500 cities in the world. But cities can change, and cities do change, and they started putting public cars, and for example, they started putting trees all over the place. Look at how different is a street in 92 without any trees, and the same street 20 years later with trees. It's totally different ambience. So that's why we need trees all over the place, because they really transform. It's good for the environment, but it's also good for economic development. And new public places, they had all of these laneways and alleys that people were not using except at 3 a.m. to do what they shouldn't be doing in the alleys. And they created all of these hundreds of alleys for people to walk and bike food and things. And it's really interesting, the transformation, creating a city for people. And one of the things, this is Rob Adams, that has led the transformation in the last 20 years, changing language like this one into these other ones, and measuring things. For example, coffee places. You know, coffee places, why do we measure coffee places? Because it's nice to see when people go to a public place, and if you like it, you want to stay. And in 1983, there were two coffee places. And then, look, when they start improving the city, what happened? Today, there are 617 coffee places. And it's not because they are coffee lovers. No, it's because they are people lovers. They want to sit and watch people go by. And people living downtown. Look at the people that were living downtown in 1983 and the people that are living now today. So these are the kind of transformations that can take place and improving the public place. For example, they got this beautiful street furniture, and you say, how much money they get out of renting? It's not about the money. This one is about the condition. They say, we're going to charge very little, but they got to open Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday has to be open 24 hours a day. So what happens? When you are going there at noon, this is what it looks like, and this is at 7 p.m., and this is at 2 a.m. So all of a sudden, you create safety, because people walking around there know that there are lights, and there's a telephone, and there's an alarm, and there's a person there. So, and this is a lot cheaper than having police on the streets. So this creates safety. So Melbourne from the air looks like any other city, but when you go down to the street level, it's really interesting. So if these cities are doing it, obviously Dallas can do it. You know, and people say, Gil, what is 80-80 cities? Well, 80-80 cities is not about parks or walking or cycling. You know, cycling is just a means. It's not the end. Our end is how can we continue to create a vibrant city where there are healthy communities and people, happier residents, enjoying their public places. And when we provide our services, people say, can my children bike to school? Can my grandparents bike to get eggs or milk? You don't have to be a transportation engineer. Simple. Three steps. Step number one, think of a child that you really love, your son or daughter or grandchild, around 8 years old. When you have that boy or girl in your mind, step number two, think of an older adult that also you are affectionate. And when you have the child and the older adult in mind, step number three, would you send them cycling to get eggs or milk? Would you send them walking to school? Would you send them to the park? If you do, it's because it's good enough. If you don't, it's because it's not. And we got to do it better. The reality, what if everything that we did in the streets in Dallas, in the public places, had to be fantastic for 8 and 80 year olds? We would end up with communities, with great communities for all. We have to stop building cities thinking that everybody's 30 year old and athletic. And we got to build cities for all. And that's what 8280 cities is about. And it's about recreating cities. And part of recreating, there are some ingredients in recreating cities. It's like when you're going to make pasta. All of a sudden you put pasta, you boil water, you put pasta, and it cooks. You don't have to put any butter or salt on it. It's a spiceless pasta. And they give you spiceless pasta one day, and if you're hungry, you eat it. But then the next day they give you spiceless pasta, and the next day they give you spiceless. And then sooner or later, you have two options. Either you buy ingredients and you make a nice pasta, or you go someplace else. You go, so you buy the ingredients, and that's different, right? So the same thing happens with the cities. The cities also have ingredients. So there are some spice cities and some spiceless cities. And no one wants to live in spiceless city. So which is a city with spices? The one that is good for the children, is good for the older adults. And what are the ingredients? One is pedestrians. A spice city is good for pedestrians. Human beings, we are pedestrians. When we walk, we use all our senses. You know, we see the children playing, and we hear the birds singing, and we go in front of a coffee shop and we smell the aroma. And so we are human beings. But very similar to walking is cycling. Because cycling is also, I say, it's also a more efficient way of walking. If you're going to do half a mile, you walk. If you're going to do 3 miles, then you bike. Both are non-motorized, both are good for the environment. But if you're going to go further away, you take public transit. So the three of them are totally in sync: public transit, cycling, and walking. And then, because also you need to bike or walk to get to the public transit. Transit is not going to pick you up in front of your house. So the last part is the glue that links all of them together is the public spaces. So you got to have all four of them, and then you got a sustainable mobility, and you have a city for people, and then all of the fun things start to click. So we got to be bold. We got to be bold at this time. And you know, walking and cycling and transit is not just because we want to be nice. No, it's almost like a human right. It's the right to mobility. It's the right to mobility. And people say, oh, here in Dallas, everybody drives. No. Not everybody does. Even in the wealthiest neighborhood of Dallas, the most sprawled neighborhood, at least 30% of the people do not drive. Everyone under 17, they don't drive. About 30% of the over 60, even if they're wealthy, they don't drive. So, and if the neighborhood is not as wealthy, then it's not going to be 30, it's going to be 40, 50, 60. So we really have to build fantastic facilities for pedestrians, for cyclists, for transit. But I want to eliminate a myth, because there is a myth that says that, you know, walking or cycling is just about building sidewalks and painting lanes on the pavement. No, I mean, we are so far behind that sometimes we are so grateful because someone painted a line on a street. No, that is not good enough. If we really want to promote cycling in the city, we need some nice to have, but especially we need must have. You know, the nice to have is bicycle parking and maps and bicycle racks. You know, those are nice to have. But they don't really make a difference. It makes it nicer for the people that are cycling now, and it gets a very few additional cyclists. If we really want to get new cyclists, there are two things. We need to lower the speed in all neighborhoods, and we need to create a network of protected bikeways. We need to lower the speed in the neighborhood below 20 miles an hour, everywhere. In the neighborhood, there shouldn't be any cars going as fast as that. You know, by the way, in the U.S., last year, 100,000 people, pedestrians, were hit by cars. Most of them could have been avoided if the cars were going slower. So in the neighborhood, actually the World Health Organization a few months ago came out with a resolution asking cities to bring the speed down below 20 miles an hour. And why 20 miles an hour? It's not just because it sounds nice, you know, 20 is plenty, and it does sound nice, but it's because it's safety. You know, if you get hit by a car going at 20 miles an hour, there is only 5% probability of being killed. If the same car hits you at 40 miles an hour, there's going to be 80% probability of being killed. In addition, we walk at 3 miles an hour, we bike at around 10 miles an hour. When the cars are going at 20, we feel at ease. when the cars are going at 40, we do not feel at ease. So if we want people to actually walk or bike, we really got to work on these issues. And the second issue is to create a network of protected bikeways. By the way, a bikeway doesn't exist. Sometimes I go to communities and people say, Gil, we don't have a bicycle culture. And I say, what do you mean? They say, oh, we build a bikeway and people are not using it. Well, and I said, how long is it? They said, oh, a mile and a half. If you build a mile and a half that doesn't connect anything with anything, people are not going to use it. So we need to create a grid. We need to create a network. And painted lines are not good enough. You know, this is Kentucky, anywhere in the world. This is somewhere in Europe, and this is Christchurch in New Zealand. When you just paint a line, the cars will go over the lines. And then this is New York. This is near my office in Toronto. All of a sudden, this cyclist was almost killed, and you said, where is the car driver? He was buying a hot dog. So, and when the cyclist, the only thing that the cyclist has between him and an SUV is a painted line, the cyclist goes on the sidewalk. And then the pedestrian is in danger. And pedestrian's got to be first. Pedestrian has to be the priority. So we need to create some kind of physical separation so that we make it safe for the pedestrian, safe for the cyclist, safe for the car users. And we got to think of the daytime and the nighttime and the winters and all. And we got to think of the door openings. And that is what's making a difference. This is in Paris. And then all of a sudden, you got these huge sidewalks and the bicycle protectors. We got to create physically protected bikeways if we really want people to improve. This is what's happening in Montreal and so on. Look, Portland. Portland had the best bicycle lanes painted on the pavement. And they went from 2% to 3% to 4% to 5%. And they said, wow, we will not need to invest in physical separation. But then it flattened at 5%. And they said, what can we do? And they did a major study last year. And this is the same as Dallas. Assume that this is all the population of Dallas in this bar. They found that there is like 1% of the population that they call the strong and the fearless. They don't need any infrastructure. They will bike regardless. What do they look like? Well, some of them are not very polite, like this guy. Others are quite a lady, but, you know, these people won't even use the infrastructure even when you build it. Then they found that on the other extreme, there's about a third of the population that will never bike. It doesn't matter if you do the best infrastructure. What do they look like? Yeah, like Fergie, you know, they won't bike. But they found that there's about 5% that enthusiastic and confident that if you do even the painted lines, maybe they might use it. And mostly are young people and mostly are students. But the majority of the population is interested but are concerned. They need physically separated bikeways if they are going to bike. So who do we want biking in our city? We got to decide. Do we want the 1%? Then let's don't do anything. Do we want to have 10 or 15 or 20? Then we got to build infrastructure. And I think we got to think of everybody, the young and the old and the families and people in the daytime and going to work. And we also got to think of this one. That is 97% that are not cycling today. So it is about change, and there is a change ahead, and I'm going to show you a few international practices. Because we're going to think, what is the role of the streets? What is the role of the streets? When we look at any city from the air, the biggest public space are the streets. And by public space, I mean the streets that belong to all of us, rich and poor and young and old and everybody. You know, this is a city of 291,000 people. There was a river going through the middle. And 35 years ago, someone said, to be efficient, we got to build a road, and they built a road right through the middle. 7 years ago, someone said, wasn't there a river going down? And they brought it out. And this is, where would you like to live, you know, in this city or in this one? So this is the kind of things, if we want to make cities that are vibrant and attractive. Are we going to build streets for cars, or are we going to build streets for people? Because we can do one, or we can do the other. Do we want our streets to look like car storage, or do we want our streets to actually create communities? You know, all of a sudden we build this parking lot that act like a gigantic vacuum that sucks the life out of the city? Or do we put street level activity and we do the parking in the second, third, and fourth story, and all of a sudden we got a nice community? You know, here the mayor was going to make this pedestrian. You know, change doesn't happen by consensus. If you want to have change by consensus, you have to water down change so much that it's not changing any longer. When the mayor was going to make this pedestrian, there were 93 cars parked. And one of the restaurants said, oh, if you take the cars, I'm going to go broke. And here, listen, but what is the general interest? And the general interest must prevail over the particular. At the end of the day, he made a pedestrian. And you think, anyone went broke? No, 20,000 pedestrians buy a lot more food than 93 cars. So these are the kind of things. You know, the street is the most valuable space. So how are we going to split it? You know, one of the things, sometimes we have departments that think of the trees, others of the cars, others of the buildings. We can have a more holistic and more people-oriented. Let me tell you a little bit about Copenhagen. I go to Copenhagen often as senior consultant with Gehl Architects. Here we were 23 people were having lunch in the place of a car. But don't tell me that here in Dallas we are different. You know, in Dallas we got nothing in common with Copenhagen or Bogota or New York. Here we are unique. Of course, always remember that you are absolutely unique. Just like everyone else. Even within Dallas, each street is unique. Each neighborhood is unique. So this is not like on the computer that you copy and paste. But it is how to adapt and improve. So we can learn from, well, I'm showing photos of many cities, some that are wealthier, some are poorer, some are bigger, some are smaller. But if we have the idea of copy and paste, it doesn't work. But if we have the idea of how to adapt and improve, because change is hard. For example, in Copenhagen, when they were going to create the first pedestrian street, when they were going to create the first pedestrian, people said, oh no, what do you mean a street? You're going to get the cars out so people walk? We have too many cars, and the weather is terrible. It's hot in the summer, it's cold in the winter, it rains all year round. But the number one issue, they said, you know, it's not part of our culture. Pedestrians, that's for the Italians. Because the Italians are loud, and they like the noise, and they like to be on the street. We're Danish, and we are quiet, and we are cold. We don't go out. Let me tell you, the Danish are more Italian than the Italians. They love the pedestrian street dance in the rain, in the sun, in the summer, in the winter. This is City Hall in Copenhagen, and all of a sudden they went from a car invasion to a people places, and they have been transforming the city, and look how cycling has been increasing in the last 40 years, and all of a sudden cycling has doubled in the last 20 years. But this is what we need, children and older adults and everybody. And now they got traffic jams, but what a nice problem to solve here at City Council. 38 out of 100 people use their bike as the mode of transportation. And it's not because they are poor. No, they have a much higher per capita income than Dallas and a high level of education. They could buy cars if they wanted to, but they rather walk or bike or take transit. 70% continue to use it even in the winter. Obviously, you don't have this weather, but you know, the weather is always an excuse. Why do people bike in Copenhagen? Basically because it's easy, it's fast, and it's convenient. What do they mean, it's easy, fast, and it's convenient? It considers the moms and the babies and the children, the women talking on the telephone, the man with the guitars, and the newcomers that are not used to cycling. They train them, and the older adults, and also because they make it fun, and it's exciting, and also they don't take spaces from the people on the sidewalks, but they take away one car, and they put 10 bikes in that parking lot. And the sidewalks on the small street, they continue at level, so if the car turning, the one that has to go up and down, but the pedestrian continues at level, and then it has as a priority that pedestrians, they create the grid. Look at the network. They create the grid for people to bike, and even though 40 out of 100 people are biking, by 2015 they want to go to 50 out of 100. So now you go there, and they're increasing. They're making them wider. They're making them better. So that's what easy, fast, and convenient is. So the pedestrian, the cycling, and the transit is almost a symbol of the respect that we got for people. So it is about change. And how do we make that change? And I'm going to finish with that. Then there are five elements. The sense of urgency, the political will, the leadership, the doers, and the public engagement. And I'm going to give one example of each. From the sense of urgency, I know that we seem to be facing a perfect storm. There's traffic congestion, and there's climate change, and there's obesity crisis, and there's an economic crisis, and all of them seem to be at the same time. In addition, in the U.S., we got two others. Challenges, but also opportunities. The population is growing very fast, and also we're living longer. The population is growing. I mean, if you had a magic wand and you could redo 40% of Dallas, you would do it even better, even the best part of the city. Well, the U.S. is going to grow by 40%. I mean, Texas is growing so fast. Texas is growing at twice the speed of the U.S. So, like, Texas is going to grow by, like, 50%. So not only do we have to improve the communities that we have today, but we got to build great communities. We don't have too much time to think. We need to act. It's very clear that we have learned to survive. But when we see all of this, it's clear that also we got to learn how to live. And this has too much to do with the built environment. It's not telling people don't waste a liter of gas to get a liter of milk. If we build communities where it takes 3 miles to get a liter of milk, You know, we need parks within walking distance so the children can walk there. The schools, you got to get involved in the schools and not say, oh, that's the Board of Education. No, because if they build schools, that's not an issue only of cash flow for the Board of Education. If we build big schools, then the catchment area is bigger and it's going to be much more difficult for children to walk or bike to school or to walk or bike to their friends' houses. So how do we want to live? When we define the cities around cars, all we get is more cars. And then we have to invite our friends to help us cross the street. And this isn't far from reality because the streets are getting wider, the cars are going faster, we're living longer, so we're getting older. But when then what do? We build more roads. So we got to decide, is this really what we want? And this is taking place all over the place, all over the world. And when we build more roads, you know, it is like if we were going to put out a fire with gasoline. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So when we define the cities around people, then we're going to get healthier and happier people and we're going to have better quality of life. And quality of life is very important because we live in an ever more globalized world. And in an ever more globalized, the best people, they can live anywhere they want to. So I'm not talking about quantity of people, but quality. I mean, the U.S. is so far ahead that if you open the door for 24 hours, you could double the population. No, I'm not talking quantity. I'm talking quality. So if Dallas wants to attract and to retain the best people, however you define best, we can have great quality of life. Quality of life is the most important tool of economic competitiveness. The second element of change is political will. You know, like in France, 5 years ago, they didn't have one public bike. All of a sudden, they bring the Belief, and they started creating. They have 1,451 stations. To put them, they eliminated 7,000 car parking. Can you imagine? And it wasn't by consensus. Obviously, it was difficult. It's hard. 7,000 car parking, and now they got 200,000 people riding their 20,000 bicycles. So it's quite interesting what they have done. And then the third element is leadership. Leadership, we always think that leadership or these world leaders, but it's not only about the world leaders. Leadership, this is a physical education teacher in Orangeville, Ontario. She saw that each year fewer and fewer kids were walking to school. She asked them why. They said, because we're scared of the cars. So last Christmas, when they went home, they came back and she was dressed up as a pilot. She shut down the parking lot. And then she created drop-off zones half a mile away from the school. Can you imagine the quality of the air that our children breathe when you got 400, 500 cars coming to the front of the schools? And it was at minus 24 degrees, and then kids started to walk and kids started to bike to school. So it's not about the weather. We need hundreds of inventions. So part of it is to promote cycling. Part of it is software, but part of it is hardware. Part of it is programs, and part of it is infrastructure. And creating pedestrian and cycling friendly, you know, unfortunately, it's not one big thing. It's many small ones. Because we built the roads 40, 30, 20 years ago thinking of cars, so we got to go back and complete them. We got to do the crosswalks and the bikeways and so on. And it's very obvious that we forgot some of the things along the way, so we got to create the crosswalks. This is how people get hit. When they're coming out of a commercial driveway and they stop on the pavement. No, we got to paint the lines and the stop signs and force them to stop before the sidewalk, or else they should get a ticket. You know, in the schools, we got to have bicycle parking, but not on the back of the schools against the wall, because otherwise, kids are not going to bike because of vandalism. We got to put the bicycle racks in front of the principal's office. And then we're going to have people cycling because the bicycle is going to be safe. The fourth element is doers. We're going to have doers in the public sector. And doers is like, let me tell you about New York, because this woman is, and these two are the other one, the Commissioner of Transportation and Commissioner of Planning of New York are transforming the city. There's a place like 9th Avenue that cars on both sides, dangerous for the cyclists. They go to the paper and then they were going to create an area for pedestrians, for cyclists, for cars, safe for everyone. Not 30 months later, not 30 weeks later, but 30 days later, they transformed 9th Avenue. So when I say it's not about the money, to go from this to this wasn't about the money. By the way, this is, why do they do only paint? Because when she was going to do it, people said, Janet, you got to do an environmental assessment. But the doers, they know that the citizens are paying them every other week to get things done, not to have too many reasons why things cannot be done. So she said, let me look at the, and she saw that the environmental assessment, if you do a pilot project, you can do it at the same time. So she has 125 pilot projects in New York. But then she said it's not about that. It's also because the community, when you're going to do it, maybe some of these stores are in favor of the bikeway, some others are not. So she said, let's put a buffer, let's put the bollards. Let's try it out for a year. If it works, then we do it properly with concrete and so on. If it doesn't, okay, we just paint it over. And then that's why it's so nice. Broadway, 4 years ago, Broadway looked like this. You know, this is what happens when you have painted lines. Who uses the painted lines? The cars and the kamikazes. And then they started taking away two lanes to create areas, again, with paint, very inexpensive, just paint and chairs and umbrellas and so on, and then creating places for people. Because New York is also competing with Dallas and Copenhagen and everybody, and it's really exciting what they're doing. And near Times Square, I'm talking about being bold. If 5 years ago you would have told anybody in New York that Times Square was going to be pedestrian, they would have thought you were crazy. Well, they did it. This is what Times Square looks like now. It used to look like this. Now it looks like that. And again, it's umbrellas and chairs and paint. And now Mayor Bloomberg is going to do it permanent. And they also created the summer street like Bogota Ciclovia, but not in any road. Park Avenue, the most important road in Manhattan from one end to the other. And then you see during the summer children painting on the street and ethnic people dancing and doing all kinds of activities. So it's really exciting. And then these are some of the pedestrian places. And the pilot is interesting, because when you're going to get these cars out, people say, oh, this woman is crazy, but let her do it. When it's a pilot, and then she comes in with the paint and the umbrellas and so on. We need a Janet in every city, someone that looks for solutions to the problems, not problems to the solutions. And the last element is public engagement. Public engagement, I'm going to tell about Seville, where I met you. And Seville, because it's very similar to Dallas in the weather. You know, Seville, this is what I thought the Spanish were doing. The Spanish yoga. But no, actually they do a lot of things. These are counselors in Seville, and they were transforming the city. In 2006, 750,000, just a little bit less than Dallas, no one bike. 0.2%, not even half a percent, 0.2%. No protected bikeways in the city. And then they built a grid of 100 miles of protected bikeways. And all of a sudden, they go from 0.2% to 6.6%. And now today, they are at 10%, well on the way to their goal of having 15 by 2015. And they, you know, when they had these isolated people were not biking, but as soon as they start connecting the grid, all of a sudden things click and then people start biking. And you know, and the key issue was connectivity. Some of them are really nice, some of them are not so nice, but they said it's not about the technical issue, it's about the connectivity. And they were moving along, you know, taking away, where do they get the space? They take away the car parking on one side of the street and they create the area for the cyclists. Or they narrow the lane. So if they have three very wide lanes, they make it three, but narrower. Or making some areas more pedestrians. For example, this other one is right in front of City Hall, where they got all of these buses and cars, and now they replace that with people holding hands. So it's time to build alliances. We got to get the public sector and the not-for-profit and the private, everybody. We got to think outside the box. We got challenges, and more than challenges, we got opportunities. You know, we started with this at the beginning of the talk. I hope that I have been able to portray that it's not a financial issue. It's not a technical issue. It's a political one. That's why we need a three-legged stool. One of the legs are the elected officials, mainly the municipality, but also to work in team with the state and the federal and the Board of Education. The other leg is the city staff, but not only transportation, from parks, from public health, from environment, from all of that. And the third leg is the community, the activists, the business community, NGOs, universities. And the three legs working together, but how are we going to get them to work together? Through developing a sense of urgency. When there is a sense of urgency, then all of them are going to be working together and transforming the city. So I hope it's about, you know, we have been focusing too long on having the ducks in a row. And having the ducks in a row is nice, but all the emphasis is on doing things right. But what happens if the ducks are in a row, but they're going in the wrong direction? So in addition to doing things right, we also got to do the right things. We have to do the right things. So I hope that this morning to have been able to recharge your batteries. Today we have been talking about cycling and walking and parks and streets, but tomorrow we got to walk the talk. So I thank you for allowing me to speak, and I wish you all the best as you continue to transform Dallas into a magnificent city. Thank you.
Mr. Penalosa, muchas gracias. Thank you very much for being here. You're an inspiration. I know that you're speaking to the staff at noon today, and want to welcome and invite the public tonight at 6 o'clock here at the City Chambers, free of charge. There will be breakout sessions and also question and answer. And I know that we will have a lot of enthusiasts and advocates of having a more vibrant city and definitely a more bike-friendly city. So we look forward to seeing you at noon and at 6 tonight. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. Staff is at 1 o'clock today. Anyone else? Ms. Hassel,
Gil, thank you very much for being here with us and showing us what can be done. I do want to say that we are having our first Ciclo Via de Dallas on April 14th between 9 and 3 at the Houston Street Viaduct Bridge, where we will be doing aerobics and we'll have some vendors there and doing fun things, but we will close off the bridge that day, and it's the bridge that connects Oak Cliff to downtown. So I do want any of those that are listening, please be with us at 9 o'clock up to 3 o'clock on April 14th on the Houston Street Viaduct. Thank you.
That's this Saturday, right, Ms. Hassel? Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Caraway.
You're welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Cook. Thank you. And thank you for being here. And I also have an announcement tonight, Ms. Hassel. So before you go to the Ciclo Via, from 9 to 3, you can come to the opening of the North Haven Hike and Bike Trail in my district at 9 o'clock, and you can also just bike down to Cindy's and you can have breakfast there. Then you can go over to Ms. Hasso's district and walk and bike there too, but we do appreciate you. And I didn't know I was part of the 3% because I have my bike now. My American-made bike, got it this over the Christmas holidays, so now I get to be part of the 3% that has bicycles and bikes. And I will tell you, Miss Grayson, I bike from my house. She knows where I live, or about where I live, all the way up to the Lowe's on George Bush Toll Road. If I had had a like a little basket, I could have bought something when I got there. So that's my next thing to do, is to buy a little basket, because what you're saying is true. You can bike up to the store and take something back with you, some milk or whatever. I certainly could have done that day. I didn't realize I could bike that far. Thank you very much for coming. It was very interesting. It was very inspirational. I appreciate your speech. And you're very enthusiastic.
And when you talk about the basket is very important, because walking and cycling is great for the local business. How much stuff can you carry when you are walking or cycling? You carry things for 2 or 3 days. So you buy very local and you buy very often. When you are going in your car, you buy for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes,
so you go to the big box stores. So it's also good. And I think that the Ciclovia is also good for public health. We have more than 1 out of 3 people are obese in Texas. And we gotta increase the levels of physical activity. And the only way to really increase the levels of physical activity is to make walking and cycling a normal part of everyday life. There is no city in the world that has more than 50% of people being physically active through sports. I mean, I love sports, I do sports, but the reality is that they are more for fun and other activities. If we really wanna get those 30 minutes a day, we need to create a city that is walkable and bikeable.
It's interesting because my son lives in Colorado Springs. He doesn't have a car. He has a bike. He bikes to work every day. He doesn't have a car. So, I mean, it's changing. You see that a lot in Colorado because they have an extensive trail system and on-street bike system, but you don't see it as much here.
You know, in Dallas, the per capita income is $40,000. The household average per capita is $40,000. According to the American Automobile Association, one car is $7,500 per year.
Yeah.
One car. So if that household of $40,000 has two cars, that household is spending 40% of the income in mobility. If that household had the possibility to use public transit or walking or cycling, instead of spending 40%, they could be spending 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the money, they could be using it to go out and having dinner with the family or going on vacation or saving for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a major financial restraint for everybody.
I agree with you. Thank you for coming.
Ms. Coop, thank you very much. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And let me say once again, it was a pleasure meeting you. And after hearing your presentation, I'm just so excited. And Ms. Coop has a new bike she has gotten for Christmas, and I have 3 bikes. And you can tell by my structure, I need to really be on them. So what I would like to see, one, is Ms. Davis more participation with some of the projects we have in the southern portion of our city as related to our Cedar Crest Martin Luther King Bridge. We're looking at making it a bike lane and all of those great things, and I would appreciate any suggestions and ideas that you could lend toward the planning of what we're trying to do to re-diversify and get some bicycles going more in the southern part of our city. But thank you so very much, and again, welcome to Dallas.
Thank you.
Mr. Carey, thank you. Mr. Cadena.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Pinholzer, thank you again for that briefing. It's very good. And one of the things you're mentioning are destination places, and that's what we really need to get started here, is more destination places. You're going to see more people out going to different places. We've got several now, I think. Bishop Arch is one. You got White Rock Lake. You got Mockingbird Station. And we need more. This will help our economy and everything. Once we get moving on bikes, it'll cause us to build more places for people to go. And that's what they need. And this past weekend, we just had a Tour Dallas biking. And it was for people to get out and tour Dallas, go all over Dallas. We had close to 3,000 people at this biking event. So we've got the bikers here, and we need to catch up with them. So I think our destination places and our complete streets is another thing that's going to get us moving. It's all moving towards the bike. So thank you for that briefing and what you're doing to help the country bike. I think it's great. Thank you so much.
And it doesn't mean that we're going to replace all the trips. No, some of the trips are going to be done by car. Because with, oh, when I'm going 40 miles away. Yeah, or a combination of walking and cycling with public transit. But half of the trips in Texas are less than 4 miles. Half of the trips. Mm-hmm. So they can be done on a bicycle. So we're not talking about the one that you're going from one end to the city to the other. But there are many, many trips that could be replaced, and then we would have a healthier and more vibrant city.
Thank you, Mr. Gadane, for your comment. Ms. Alonso.
Mr. Benelosa, thank you very much. Gracias. Being very inspirational, very, very informative, I think. It's more than anything. You talked about the kids going to the schools and the bikes. There is a project going on right now in Rosemont Elementary area. I was talking to Mr. Griggs, which is in that area, and I drive by because my daughter's school is around there, and the kids get very involved as a aunt of a former student. He kept on saying, I want a bike because I want to do what all the kids are doing. So it's just, you know, a matter of communicating, talking, and letting people know what's going on. You did, and that would work into communication, education, letting them know what all and how all it's gonna, what all is gonna benefit and to whom. And because also, I was in New York City, and you mentioned New York City Times Square for spring break, and you know, I saw the change, and I asked because I've seen it, and the girls were like, oh wow, there's going to be a lot of taxis, and they didn't see them because, you know, they changed the formality of how the lanes are now and everything, and there was a lot of more pedestrian folks and all, and that is, and I asked the officers, and they said because the mayor wanted it. That's all he said. He didn't say because of this, because of that. So I go back to communication. It's communication and education, as you mentioned on the three-legged stool. But it can be done. Si se puede if we all communicate together. Gracias.
By the way, the city that I think the U.S. will be doing the most interesting thing in the next 2 years is Chicago. The new mayor of Chicago, Emmanuel, he's building 100 miles in the next 18 months of protected bikeways. Chicago had always been painting lines. They realized it didn't work. It got them to 4%. But he really wants to go beyond 10%, and he's building 100 miles as we speak. And by the end of next year, we will have a grid of 100 miles in Chicago. So it's not Europe. No, it's many cities around the world and many cities in North America. And Dallas could be ideal because Dallas obviously has a much better weather than Chicago. You cannot compare. Even if it's a little bit hot in the summer, you cannot compare with the cold winter of Chicago. And they're doing it.
Mr. Griggs. I'm sorry, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, you know, just a real quick question. How do you go about where you have, say, very high density, maybe low-income areas, rental areas with high density that has congestion all around it? You have a lot of kids in a high-density rental area with a high congestion that around. How do you get those kids involved? What's the process that cities go through? Because, again, it's dangerous to start with because on the front end, there's no place for these kids to ride, and they're not used to it. So How do you energize that? How does the city start to visualize and change and then bring these kids and families that are in low-income areas with high, high, high density, very congested, no bike lanes, nothing, no parks, nothing to get close to? How do you energize a city? How do you energize the community to change and get that group of people involved?
That's a very important question. And actually, you even mentioned the issue of parks. And last week, I was in Atlanta speaking, giving a keynote on parks, because they told me to speak to me about bicycles and not about parks. But parks is a critical issue, and all of this is totally in sync. It's totally linked, because we need to have parks within walking distance of every citizen. And it's not the quantity of parks. Los Angeles has a lot of parks, but all on one side of the city. In the middle of it, there are no parks, and two out of three kids do not have a park within walking distance, and that's where you have all the riots, and that's where you have the obesity. So similar thing. So we need to work with the children. Part of it is infrastructure, but part of it is programs. So we need also to teach the kids how to use the streets. For example, even in places like Holland, where in Holland, 4 out of 10 kids are walking or biking. Nevertheless, every fifth grader has 3 weeks teaching them how to bike and how to walk on the streets, how to use the streets. Even though since they are 2 months old, they are in a basket on a bike. So we need to teach them, because people are not born knowing how to use the streets. So part of it is that kind of training. Also, that's why it's so important to lower the speed, but not only in front of the school, because we don't want the children to be safe just in front of the school. We want the children to be safe everywhere, all over the neighborhood. So that's why it's so important to lower the speed. The children, when the cars are coming at 20 miles an hour, they can estimate how long will it take for the car to reach. When the cars are going faster than 20 miles, they cannot really estimate the time. So that's another reason why it's so important. So we need to build infrastructure, but we also have to develop programs and create walking buses and bicycle buses so that they come in groups and they come with parents, volunteers, and we need to develop that link between the school system and also the parents. And also, we cannot continue to build very large schools where the catchment area is very large and it will be very difficult to walk or bike. In the U.S., only 40 years ago, in 1970, 76% of the children walked or bike to school. 76%. Today it's only 17. It's amazing how in just 40 years this completely changed. Even though the cities today are safer than ever. It's not what we see in the news, because sometimes we see a child was kidnapped in Perth, Australia. And then all of a sudden you ask the parents, why isn't your children walking? Or didn't you hear about the child kidnap? I said, that was in Perth, Australia, and you are in Dallas, Texas. It has nothing to do. But nevertheless, so we got to work on those. Part of it is going to have to be infrastructure, but a lot of it is programming.
You know, there's a mindset to some degree that all parks, you have to have parking for cars to get to. Do you believe that? Or can you live without parking? Have parks without parking. Do you agree or disagree that you can have parks without having put up parking lots?
Oh, of course, yeah. I think that many. We should have more parks than parking.
Use the word working buses. Is that just mass transit, or is there a
bigger concept? That they walk as a group. So instead of the children walking by themselves, then they go with an adult, and they keep picking up children walking along the route to school. So then all of a sudden you have an adult that is volunteer, and then they take him along the route.
And is that a part of the government that does that, or is it a nonprofit that do that, that use these buses to transport people to where the trails are, where the parks are? Or is that the city that's made that decision?
The city, but there is federal funding for that. There's in the U.S. there's a federal funding called Active and Safe Route to School, yeah. And then the municipalities have access to it.
Thank you so much for your passion.
Mr. Allen, thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you so much for that wonderful presentation. Very inspirational. I think what we took from it is that we really need these physically separate facilities for bikes, for it to work, and the network. And also, this is really going to be up to us. We need the political will to do this. Our bike plan's over a year old, and we don't have a single, not even stripe, much less physically separate facility on the ground yet. So I think as a city council, it's time to get moving on this, and we can move through these obstacles, the money, this thoroughfare plan. They shouldn't stand in our way, and we need to do this. Once we give the invitation, people are absolutely going to love it, and then they're going to demand it, and we can change the city. So thank you very much.
I totally agree. I think you have to borrow the slogan from Nike and say, just do it. It's when you started, people said nothing could happen in New York because of the corruption and the politicians and the taxes and the well, they're transforming it. Same thing is in Chicago, same thing is in Portland, same thing is happening in Seville. So I think there are many examples. And with regards to the parks, that's a very important, and actually when I meet with the city staff, I'm going to leave a little section on parks, because I think parks are critical to the healthy and vibrancy of the city. And it's about priorities. Sometimes you go to the cities and the playgrounds are broken, and you go to the city and they tell you, oh, you have to go and do fundraising. But you go to the same city with a pothole, and then the pothole is fixed in 24 hours. So is the pothole more important than the playground? Why do we have to do fundraising to fix the playground, but we don't have to do fundraising for the pothole? So same thing with the protected bike, which is about an issue of priority.
Absolutely, we have to make it a priority. Thank you very much, Mr. Penaloza. Our mayor has just walked into the meeting, Mr. Michael Rollins, Gil Penaloza. He made quite a presentation today and has inspired us all.
Thank you, Encantado.
I assume that's the baton handing to me. Thank you so much. Any other questions, thoughts? Thank you, Ms. Soom, for scheduling that. We will now move to open microphones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your morning speakers with Lawrence Caudill, Lawrence Smith, and Sir Earl Toome. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings and state your name and address for the record, please, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning,
City Council members. My name is Dr. Lawrence Caudill from here in Dallas, 508 6th Matilda. I'm here today to speak for myself as a concerned citizen for what I fear is about to take place in our city, the drilling for natural gas within the city limits of Dallas. And by the way, this is a very hard act to follow. I followed with great interest what this gentleman just said. It was just wonderful and very uplifting.
We've got a broken clock, so I'm going to keep. I'll tell you when you've got about a minute left.
Okay, thank you, sir. For about 2 years, I have attended a number of meetings of concerned citizens in Fort Worth, Arlington, Granbury, where I became very alarmed at what I was hearing. Aside from assurances of wonderful financial returns on mineral rights, the resulting actions, in many cases of drilling activity, has been a nightmare. I heard mothers describe the noise and the smell of newly polluted air near their homes, causing sickness, headaches, and worse. The quality of the drinking water for many of these people became so poor that they had to go to the store and buy it. Imagine what this water was like to bathe in. I heard about communities that reported the increase in cancer and other health challenges. People complained about the noise day and night from the drilling activity. The location of drilling near residential and park areas not only made life difficult, but it caused a decrease in property values. Many who thought they were going to profit handsomely from this activity ended up with decreased royalty checks monthly, and in some cases, the oil wells have not produced to the extent expected or hoped for. But one aspect that I find especially troubling is the proposed drilling for gas in the Trinity River floodplain. We know that the water pumped into the ground of these wells is filled with dangerous chemicals. In at least 50% of all drilling instances, there is flowback of this water onto the adjacent ground. When this floodplain is flooded by either river water or heavy rains, guess where this poisonous residue goes? Into the Trinity River. Up to 50% of the residents of Dallas rely on this river for the source of their drinking water, and this water is also the source of water for millions of people downstream all the way to Houston. My question to all of you, ladies and gentlemen, is why?
You've got about 45 more seconds.
Thank you. Why would you even consider allowing the placement of drilling rigs anywhere close to where people live and work? There are other issues, such as damage to our roads and highways from increased heavy truck traffic as well. I cannot go into that. But in these coming weeks, I want to urge you strongly to think about what you are going to allow to happen in this area, in our beloved city. The quality, the very quality of our life, indeed our existence, is at stake.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And I just want to thank the doctor for coming out. And this is the second week in a row we've had someone come out and express some concerns about dangerous gas drilling in our urban environment. And I'm sure we're going to continue to hear this, the concerns about our water in the Trinity, our parks, our air. So thank you for coming out, Doctor.
Thank you. Next speaker. Oh, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Doctor, I would ask that you would, at some point, contact me for a meeting. I'd like to get a little bit more of the briefing and have a little bit more knowledge of what you're speaking of, okay? So if you would, just contact my office, and my office will contact you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your attention.
Next speaker.
Your next speaker is Lawrence Smith. Lawrence Smith. Not present. Sir Earl Toon.
Heavenly Father God, please guide me. Honorable Michael S. Rollins, Mayor, Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor Atkins, Ms. Mulligan, my pleasure, McGowan, which is District 13, which I'm there, and the first official that invited me to this city, Mr. Dwayne Carraway. Please, I'm a little nervous right now, but my name is Sir Earl Toon. I reside at 11330 Cromwell Drive, Dallas, Texas. I'm a professional singer, producer, writer. I'm from an old school band called Cool Runnin' Gang. Songs like Ladies Night, Too Hard, and if you ever said, Yahoo, celebrate good times, come on, blah, blah. I wrote that, those lyrics and melody over 30 years ago. And I'm proud to be in this wonderful, a great state of Texas and truly beautiful city of Dallas. And I intend to be here. I'm here, I've done a lot of things for charities and nonprofit organizations, and you have embraced me. A lot of you don't even know I'm in this town. I go out of town and come back in, but actually from Paws of the City, Dallas Margarita Society, Scottish Rite, Night of Superstars, even the Dallas Challenge, which is art from the heart, later part of this month, April the 27th, actually, I'm doing something for the children. But I'm here because of the afternoon of June 1st, 2011. And I was maliciously attacked. I know I have only 3 minutes and to go through this, but I will say from employees from Encore Delivery, electrical company delivery, they attacked my dogs, I guess I've been living in a bubble for a while because I couldn't understand. They didn't know me and I didn't know them. I asked them to get off my property. They told me to get off my property. They even made a phone call, I don't know, to their workplace or to the cops and said, that's a black guy that's threatening my life. And I realized being out there with two of them myself, something is not right. Of course he didn't know I was an entertainer. Of course he didn't know I was, he just looked at me, I guess, because of my hair and so, and assumed. I had to go in and get my friend Phil and back in the house and call him to come out because I needed a witness of what was going on. Kicking my dog, hitting him, saying nice things, bad names. And I asked him why he was doing it. I asked his partner, why are you allowing him to do it? And he said, well, we can come back here. I said, first of all, you couldn't have been back here because my door is locked. The reason why my door is locked back there because I'm around the corner from the school. I have almost a 10-foot pool in the back. I have a pit bull back there. Because of the children, we make sure it's locked. But they were standing there, so I'm confused of all of this. But in short, I just want to say to you is that I promise you, I've been all over the world and still I have never, ever been hurt that way. That when the police came, they didn't know who to believe because they asked me a few times, are you sure you live here? Because they told them wearing that hat and being on call that when my dog did bite them, I didn't know that my dog bit them because he was on top of me beating me and so. Yeah, I got scarred up and banged up and actually I got beat up because he bum rushed me. But the officer said to me, well, he gave me a ticket and said, well, you guys just go down because I can't figure it out. Even though I pleaded with him that I lived there and I was beat up. So what happened, man? Only by the grace of God, I asked him, well, will you look at the gate at least? And he, I guess, appeased me. He did. But when he did, he said, there's nothing wrong with the gate. And he shook the door and everything fell out. The things fell out to the ground and the splinters. And all of a sudden, he said, this is fourth century. I said, I told you so. And so I've been like Florida or Pasadena and California or Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't want this city to be a part of any sort of thing like that.
Right.
Because this is a beautiful city and you are wonderful people. And I love it being here. But I need some sort of help, you know. And does Encore have a contract with you
Yes.
or with the city? And so I would love to see it.
Thank you, Mr. Tune. You're right. In 3 minutes, we probably can't understand the magnitude.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. We've got Chief Cato over here. I want to make sure we codify everything and we are clear on what happened and that the process has been looked in. We cannot have any just iota of misunderstanding in this, and we appreciate it. And if you can follow up with Chief, and Mr. Kerwood, do you want to say something?
Well, Mayor, I was just going to say thank you, and you can't put it out in 3 minutes. And I appreciate you, Mayor, sending him over to Chief Cato. If you would follow up and let's try to hear exactly what's happening and offer as much support as we possibly can. But I would suggest start here with Chief Cato, and we'll follow up from there.
The things that have happened across the country could happen in any city, and we've got to be ever diligent that they don't happen in the city of Dallas. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I thank you so much for having patience with me. God bless you all.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Ms. Margolin. Excuse me.
Mr. Kuhn, as your representative, please let me know if this hits a dead end and if I can help you in any way.
Thank you, ma'am, and thank you for being so very gracious and for me to be here. And again, you guys have a wonderful city. You have no idea. You're right in the middle of the country. You can do things that others can't do. I mean, truly. This is a wonderful melting pot.
Thank you.
If you give yourselves just a chance to weed out those, I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes your speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor. We continue now with the voting agenda. Item number one is approval of minutes of the March 28, 2012 City Council meeting.
Entertain a motion, Mr. Cadane, Mr. Atkins seconded. Any additions, edits, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Next on your agenda is approval of the consent and the addendum agendas. I will, item number 7 has been corrected on the addendum. and there are no longer any pulled items, so you will be considering items number 2 through 28 and addendum items number 1 through 4.
Mr. Atkins, motion. Do we have a second? Mr. Cadane, second. Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to item number 29, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There was a slight change from the information you received last night. For nominees for individual appointment to the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Dwight F. Williams is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the Park and Recreation Board, Francis M. Gonzalez is nominated by Councilmember Hasso. For full council appointment to the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board Farmers Market, Gene Hargrove to fill the registered voter category is nominated by Councilmember Cadane. You also have nominees for chair appointment, Hewlin A. Harrison, Community Development Commission, nominated by Mayor Rawlings, Walter Allen Wan to the Reinvestment Zone 14 Board Skillman Corridor, nominated by Mayor Rawlings, Michonne Hulgan, Reinvestment Zone 9 Board Vickery Meadow, nominated also by Mayor Rawlings for chair.
Thank you. Ms. Cadane, we have a second, and Ms. Judge Hill.
I have a question. Comment. Is Walter Allen Wong Allen Wong?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I do apologize. We will need to reconsider the consent agenda. I failed to read addendum items number 5 and 6, which were no longer pulled.
I'm sorry.
So we would need a motion to reconsider the consent agenda.
We have a motion and a second to reconsider. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Now you will be considering the consent agenda again to include addendum item number 5 and 6 to those items previously noted.
Ms. Carraway, motion. Ms. Cadane, second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you very much. Item number 31 requires a motion that the City Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Ruth Ferguson, a.k.a. Ruth Ellen Ferguson, Don Ray Ferguson, Ronald James Ferguson, Ricky Bernard Ferguson, Tamara Michonne Ferguson, and Geneva Anderson, a tract of land containing approximately 6,585 square feet of land at 4648 Luzon Road in City of Dallas Block E, 6747, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of the Luzon Corridor Street Connector Project.
Mayor, I'd like to move this item number 31 to be approved and further request a record vote.
Okay, I'll entertain a second. Anyway, Ms. Koop, second. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's have a record vote.
Please vote.
We're missing
just one person. Okay, Ms. Davis. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Carraway, Allen, Hoop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Member Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Atkins, and Hill. Absent, Angela, Council Member Hunt. Absent when vote taken, Carolyn Davis. Motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Item number 32 requires a motion that the City Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Sun NLS Limited Partnership a tract of land containing approximately 13,128 square feet of land at 7915 South Lancaster Road in City of Block 7609, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of Wheatland Road Improvement Project. Is there a motion?
Yes, there is a motion to move this go forward with colleagues. There'll probably be three or more motions coming down the road. And this is a project. It's in the UNT area. It's a right-of-way that from Lancaster going to Wheaton Road. The community have been notified, they have spoken, and they all agree on this action to take forward. So the following motion, I will be moving it forward, and also for the public record.
So we have a second. We have Michelle second, and we'll take a record vote. Is that what you asked for?
Yes, uh-huh.
Please start voting.
I'm sorry. Okay.
One person's missing. Thank you. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor are Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Atkinson, Hill. Council Member Davis is absent when vote taken. Council Member Hunt is absent. Motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Item number 33 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from 261 CW Springs Limited a tract of land containing approximately 14,970 square feet of land at 1900 South Lancaster Road in City of Dallas Block 7608, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of the Wheatland Road Improvement Project.
Entertain a motion. Mr. Atkins.
So moved, and call for a record vote on item 33.
We have a second. Michelle. Any discussion? Hearing none, have a record vote.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Atkinson, Hill. Absent when vote taken, Council Member Davis. Absent, Council Member Hunt. Motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Item number 34 requires a motion that the City Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from RKCJ LLC a tract of land containing approximately 25,727 square feet of land at 1801 Wheatland Road in City of Dallas Block 7605, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of the Wheatland Road Improvement Project. Is there a motion?
Yes, motion. Move item 34. Call for the record vote.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, please vote.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Atkins, and Hill. Absent when vote taken, Council Member Davis. Absent, Council Member Hunt. Motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Cadane. I'm sorry.
Can we not take these last three together if Mr. Atkins wishes so? And read them all in and then please. Take them at once?
Please, Ms. Rios, read them all in. And we'll,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Item number 35 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Sun NLF Limited Partnership a tract of land containing approximately 28,795 square feet of land at 7531 South Lancaster Road in City of Dallas Block 7608, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of the Wheatland Road Improvement Project. Item number 36 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from King E. Rhodes a tract of land containing approximately 65,699 square feet of land at 2100 East Wheatland Road in City of Dallas, Block 7609, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of the Wheatland Road Improvement Project. Item number 37 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Crescent Real Estate Equities Limited Partnership a tract of land containing approximately 73,808 square feet of land at 2000 East Wheatland Road in City of Dallas, Block 7608, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of Wheatland Road Improvement Projects. Is there a motion to approve items 35, 36, and 37?
Mr. Atkins?
Yes. You had a motion to move those forward, those items?
Second.
And record vote.
Ms. Coop seconded. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Hill.
This is the city attorney's call. I have some heartburn about voting on all of them together because of state law. It is the city attorney's call, but I would like to have on the record what that call is, please.
You can vote on it, Bill.
Ms. Ernst?
Turn on basis. You turn on basis.
If it turns out, if all council members are voting for the item, their record vote now is yes as to all three of those items. If there are one of those three items, somebody does not want to vote yes, then you would separate them as three separate items. So I can't predict whether how people feel about these three items.
Thank you. Okay. Let us have a record vote now. Thank you, Michelle.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor of items number 35, 36, and 37, Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Atkinson, Hill, absent when vote taken, Council Member Davis, absent Council Member Hunt. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Item number 38, 39, and 40, I will read the following statement. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These three items do require 2 seconds. Item number 38 is authorize a public hearing to be held on April 25, 2012 to receive comments to consider an amendment to the tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 2 City Place Area TIF District project plan and reinvestment zone financing plan to number 1 increase the total City Place Area TIF budget from $22,230,084 NPV. Number 2, approve the grant program and funding in the amount of $1,464,526 NPV for such a program. Number 3, decrease the street utility and intersection improvements category from $7,523,175 NPV to $7,420,902. Number 4, increase the extension of the McKinney Avenue trolley category from $1 million NPV to $1,102,273. And number 5, approve all related matters hereto to reflect these amendments under the authority of the Tax Increment Financing Act as amended, and at the close of the public hearing, consideration of an ordinance amending ordinance number 21465 as amended to reflect these amendments. Again, this item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much, Mayor, and I move to approve.
We have 2 seconds. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 39 is authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Thrash Memorial Funeral Home LLC to complete funding for costs related to the renovation and reuse of commercial property located at 4830 South Lancaster Road in Dallas, Texas. This item requires 2 seconds.
Move approval.
Myself and Mr. Atkins, Ms. Medrano. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 40 is authorize a business loan to Eric Bird DBA MLK Business Center to renovate and convert real property into office space located at 2822 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Dallas, Texas. I require 2 seconds.
Ms. Coop?
Mr. Mayor, Ms. Davis had...
Ms. Davis, you're back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What's the item number? Thank you so much, Ms. Brown. I move for approval of item number 40.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Do we have a second?
Second.
And Mr. Atkins, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your items for consideration this morning.
Thank you. It's 10:42. We will adjourn and reconvene at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm going to call Dallas City Council agenda meeting for April 11th, 2012 back to order. It's 1:01 p.m. to deal with public hearings and related actions. I think we have a quorum. And Ms. Rios, take the first item up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your zoning consent consists of items 41, 42, 43, 44, and 45. I will read those into the record. We do have one individual that signed up for two of those items. That will be the first individual called up to speak, then it will be open to the remainder of the public. Item number 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1411 for an open enrollment charter school on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the south side of Bruton Road between Las Cruces Lane and Alhambra Street. Item number 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 605 with a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of greater than 3,500 square feet on the southwest corner of Buckner Boulevard and Samuel Boulevard. Item number 43 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of greater than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CRG community retail district with a D liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of East Overton Road and Ramona Avenue. Item number 44 is a public hearing to receive comment for and an ordinance granting an amendment to the Phase 1 portion of Plan Development Subdistrict Number 20 for certain GR General Retail Subdistrict uses within Plan Development District Number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District at the east corner of Oaklawn Avenue and Gillespie Street. Item number 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Specific Use Permit Number 1548 for an open enrollment charter school on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the west and north side of Forest Gate Drive, north of Forest Lane. We do have, again, one individual signed up to speak on items number 42 and 43, Robert Cloud, not present. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items read into the record? If you will please state your name and address for the record, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, and if you will please state which agenda item or items you are speaking on, please. Thank you.
if I'm not wrong, when you was running for mayor, you said you were going to help the schools.
What item were you speaking to?
Open the roll in charter schools and the liquor.
This is not, we're not talking about that at this point. We're doing.
She read 41, 42.
Okay. Item number 41 is open enrollment charter schools.
Thank you. My fault. I appreciate it. Please. Start us 3 minutes up again. Thank you.
The liquor. special permit for the liquor control, overlay for the liquor. Before the liquor companies came, before y'all voted for all these liquor stores to go up, Murray.
Sir, keep talking to me. Your time's running.
Can I get us a minute since you and Dwayne, you know, y'all distracted me with y'all.
Let's just start talking.
Yeah. I'm just trying to see, since you and Dwayne disrespect me all the time, you do it all the time, you know, he your brother, and I know that. Can I get some more time on the clock for you and your brother disrespect me all the time, man? Can I get some more time? No?
Yes, you can get some more time, please.
Yes, I can.
Start talking.
I'm gonna start back at the school. Since you didn't, you told me you were sorry for interrupting me, so I'm gonna start back where I started from, when you didn't even know what I was talking about on this agenda. Open enrollment charter schools. You said you was gonna help the schools, and you were gonna do this and you was gonna do that. That's what everybody do, you know, when they running for council member, mayor, or whatever y'all do. Y'all tell all these But anyway, why is it you can open up a charter school? Every week I come down here, you got 3 or 4 charter schools you can open up, but the DISD is closing 11. How is that possible? And can any black say something about what's going on? And I can't figure it out. I don't understand it. Can somebody, black, white, Jewish, or anybody, tell me how you could close 11 DISD schools in the city every week, open 3 or 4 enrollment charter schools? You could do that at the end. If anybody wants to say anything, Bunzia Hill, she always talking for the white people. She wants to say anything about how you can close 11 schools in the DISD. People can't even go get their children too far. They're going to get run over by trains and cars. And you study open up liquor stores. Oh, this is exactly what I need right here. Merle, I appreciate the time you give me. You open up, you close the school so the kids have to go far, so the parents have to go a long way to get the kids, get run over by trains, buses, and cars, and right in the middle of that, you open up liquor stores everywhere so the drugs can hit the kids, not the trains and the cars, the drunks. Let you open up liquor stores everywhere. The liquor store said, "We coming before y'all voted." I don't know who got paid, but the liquor stores had signs out everywhere. "We already coming, and we're going to be at this location before y'all voted." So somebody got paid. Now, you're going to open up all these charter schools. You're going to, the DISD, closing schools so the kids got to go far. The city of Dallas open up liquor stores right between the schools so the drunks can run over the kids and kill them. And this is y'all plan. And if anybody want to say something, anybody got an idea, you know, William, you did, so however you want to put it, you open up liquor stores so the kids can get run over
put them a long way from the home for the mom and daddy. Even when they get run over, the mama can't even go get them because it's too far.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak on any of the items that were read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Caraway.
Mayor, I would like to make an amendment to on the consent agenda to item 43 and keep it on the consent agenda if there's no opposition, to change the additional three-year period subject to the site plan and go back to the CPC's approval to 5 years. So I'd like to make it from 3 years to 5 years.
So you're moving the consent agenda for approval with that amendment?
With that amendment, yes, sir.
Do we have a second? We have a second. Discussion? Any of that? All right, hearing none. Do you have that, Ms. Rios?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following items require that I read the following statement into the record. That will be items number 46 through 54. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Items 46 through 54 will require 2 seconds. Item number 46 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 695 on the southeast corner of Point Road and Frankfurt Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 31 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request, received 1 reply in favor and 3 replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the Plan Commission recommendation for approval.
We have a motion, a second, and 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 47 is a public hearing and a resolution granting an amendment to the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the west side of Old Hickory Trail, north of West Danieldale Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners from 500 feet of their request. We received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
I move to move this forward with amendment to Z112154 with this amended deed restriction on the west side of Old Hickory Trail, north of West Danieldale Road, approved by the CBC recommendation, and move to close the public hearing.
Second.
We have a second. Do we have another second? Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 48 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the removal of the D liquor control overlay on property zoned in MU1D mixed use district with a D liquor control overlay on the northwest corner of South Bend Boulevard and West Page Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received 9 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? So you will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Jimmy Schnurr, 740 East Campbell, Richardson, Texas. Items 48 and 49 are basically companion cases. by approving both of those and following the Plan Commission unanimous recommendation for approval on both, it would allow the construction of a Quick Trip, their new third-generation stores that we've just opened up over at Forest and LBJ. And I'm here to answer any questions, and Quick Trip's available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor, and the record will reflect that the council member Griggs has left the council chamber as he has a conflict of interest on this item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Tasso.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow CPC's recommendation of approval.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Entertain the discussion, Mr. Allen.
The Councilwoman Hasso, great decision. Y'all came out to our area, Forest and Aldea. Councilwoman Coop and I had an opportunity to go out. The third-generation store, without question, is just over the top. And it's something that all of our citizens will enjoy. But something you guys did, and it goes over and above, there's a creek that runs beside the store itself, and y'all put in just a real nice embankment that went there, way over the top. Most companies would never, ever do that, and you guys did. And I think Councilwoman Coop and I, it blew our socks off when we saw that, just what effort y'all put into it. Great store. Councilwoman Hasso, you're very lucky to be getting them. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Coop.
Wanted to add, yes, Ms. Hasso, I think you'll find Quick Trip is very easy to work with. It's a family-owned business, and Mr. Allen gave him a pep talk. I thought was so impressed. You know, the employees a pep talk, tell them, you know, how much we appreciated them coming to our area of town. So, but I do appreciate, you know, when a business comes in and they're well run and they're a family-owned business and that kind of thing. It really shows the pride and ownership there is really trying to do, you know, what's good not only for the bottom line but also in the community. So we appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU1 mixed-use district on property zone sub-area 2A within planned development district number 316, the Jefferson Area Special Purpose District on the southwest corner of South Zane Boulevard and West 12th Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 8 notices to property owners in terms of their request. We received 7 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
For the record, Councilmember Griggs is also not in the council chamber as he has a conflict of interest on this item. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow CPC's recommendation of approval.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Council Member Griggs may return to the council chamber. Item number 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an open enrollment charter school on property zoned planned development district number 612 on the east side of Spur 408 north of Grady Nibla Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 12 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area request, received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. Looks like I'm back just in time. I'll go ahead and close the public hearing, follow CPC recommendation, and move approval. Thank you.
A second. We need two, right?
Two, yes.
Ms. Hasso. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 51 and 52 need to be considered collectively. Item number 51 is a public hearing concerning the creation of a reinvestment zone for commercial tax abatement to be known as City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone Number 77, incorporating approximately 5.4 acres of property located at 2214 Bryan Street in Dallas for the purpose of granting economic development incentives to Wynn Jackson, Inc. Item number 52 is an ordinance designating the 5.4 acres of property located at 2214 Bryan Street in Dallas as City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone Number 77 for the purpose of granting economic development incentives to Wynn Jackson, Inc., establishing the boundaries of the reinvestment zone and providing for an effective date. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the item read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Drama.
Thank you, Mayor. And this is, we have long been awaiting this, and I move to approve, close the public hearing and approve agenda items number 51 and 52.
Second, we have 2 seconds. Any discussion? I will echo Ms. Medrano. I think this is an important Dallas landmark that is going to be turned into great economic development, housing, and to continue to create the revitalization of downtown. I'm not sure our citizens really know what's happening in downtown, but every time we turn around, there are events like this happening. So I'm in support of this as well. Thank you very much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Items number 53 and 54 must also be considered collectively. Item number 53 is authorize a 90% real property tax abatement agreement for 10 years with Wynn Jackson, Inc., located on 5.4 acres of property located at 2214 Bryan Street in Dallas. Number 54 is authorize a historic preservation tax exemption for the Dallas High School located at 2214 Bryan Street for a 10-year period on 100% of the land and structure value. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to just reiterate what TJ just mentioned. This area has long been an eyesore for downtown, and we've got great transit right across the street. It was the oldest high school here in Dallas, and soon we will see, if this passes, soon we will see residential there and economic development starting in and around all that. And I think it complements the arts district, the Latino Culture Center, and it really spreads out development in that part of downtown. So I'd like to move to approve items 53 and 54 collectively.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Just one more personal note. I worked at the Plaza of Americas in the late 70s, saw that location, saw that school, and said someday somebody's going to do something to it. So it may be 25 years later, but this developer's going to put $50 million into the downtown, and I think it's a major accomplishment. Thank you for the Economic Development Department and your leadership and Ms. Hunt's leadership. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, would you please clarify who provided the seconds for this item?
It was Mr. Atkins and Ms. Cooper.
Thank you very much. That does conclude your items for this afternoon. I will follow now with the afternoon speakers. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Mayor?
Yes, I'm sorry. Before you go, Ms. Davis has something she'd like to reconsider, I think.
Yes, item 42, it went through the consent agenda, but there are some things I want to make sure we add to item 42. David and Master Plan, can you guys come forward? Do I need to bring you back for reconsideration?
Let me ask the question first, and then we'll take the vote.
Okay. The only thing I wanted to add to racetrack, this is the new racetrack that's going to be at Butler and Samuel. There are some things I don't want them
to perhaps to look at. And those things are the Mad Dog, MD 2020, and Cisco.
Four Loko.
Yes. So I would like to make that a part of the record. And they have agreed by sending a letter not to sell those three items.
Yes, ma'am. We're happy to do that.
Can you come to the mic? Please, can't hear you.
Sados Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 5202. Mrs. Davis, in our meetings with the neighborhood associations and the economic development committees and our conversations with you, our client has agreed not to sell those products at the store, and I believe they've prepared a letter to that effect to run concurrent with this SUP.
Okay,
and we're happy to do that.
Do the letter go to also the planning department as well?
I believe the original letter was given to your office. That could be placed in the file if needed.
And that's all I'm asking. That letter be placed in the file. Can that letter be placed in the file, David? Those three items.
Certainly, we can place a letter in the file, but obviously, as part of the SUP, we can't alter TABC regs.
Okay.
But that commitment can go into the letter in the file, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I have a copy of the original letter, but can you make sure that they get a copy of just those three items that I mentioned?
Yes, ma'am. We'd be happy to give that to them.
And I move for approval.
Thank you.
We've already approved it, so this takes care of this issue?
Right. The only thing is just the letter needs to be placed in the file, and I just want to put it on the record.
All the work's done, I've been told. Thank you.
Thank you. Your afternoon speakers begin with Tom Gibbons, Leticia Johnson, and Belinda Rogers. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals do have 3 minutes to speak. Please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Tom Gibbons. Not present, Leticia Johnson. Not present, Belinda Rogers. Ms. Rogers will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw, Richard Sheridan, Ozumba Lunx, William Hopkins, Robert Ciccarelli, Gwen Wooten, and LaCoya London. Ma'am, if you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Belinda Rogers, 415 Longworth Boulevard, Duncanville, Texas.
Please go ahead.
Okay. I'm here concerning a vehicle.
Could you move the mic just a little lower so I can hear you? Thank you.
I'm here concerning a vehicle of mine that was in a car accident. And the report showed the driver, Stacy Ludolph, is 20 years old and had been drinking but was not under the influence at the time of the collision. The legal age to drink alcohol in Texas is 21 years old. And how did the officer determine she was not under the influence at the time? And what is the Dallas Police Department policy regarding this type of situation? And Officer Shakan documented incorrect information on the police report, making it difficult to identify Ms. Lowe and her vehicle information. And due to miscommunication and incorrect information provided during and after the accident, my car was sold at the auction. Can the City of Dallas reimburse me for my loss and provide some kind of assistance? I'm requesting Officer Sharkon receive additional training so he will handle a similar accident like this one differently. And thank you for your assistance.
Yeah, we need to look into this. And would you meet Sergeant Anderson right over here? And we'll get the details and we'll give it the once over on this. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw, followed by Richard Sheridan and Ozumba Lunx.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I would like to talk about a couple items. In District 7, We voted against the toll road. Because before it hits floods, before it hits downtown, it's going to hit us, those of us who live around Lamar, Second Avenue, and around in that area there. The second thing is on the agenda today, agenda item number 22, regarding Carson Garrett. And then I'm not complaining about it because I think it's good that already we're talking about spending $4 million in that area around Carson Garrett and I-75, am I correct? Now, our project that we've been discussing for a number of years, which includes the FSA Higgins Boulevard, we've been talking about it since 1981 from the Martin Luther King Jr., then we did Malcolm X, and then we did J.B. Jackson Jr., and now we're coming with the FSA Higgins Boulevard. We've been talking about that for 30 years, and Ms. Higgins would be the last one on that. But I just can't understand how we continue to take $92,000 off of MLK Boulevard, which is there for revitalization of the street. And then I look at the agenda again this morning, and now the gentleman, Mr. Eric Byrd, had to take out a loan of $50,000 from the South Dallas Trust Fund to revitalize 2822 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And we need that money to revitalize that area there. That's what it's for. In the same manner that they're going to do item over at the school, Dallas High School, as far as revitalization and historic things, we need to do the same thing in South Dallas. That's a new concept as far as community development. There's nothing wrong with that. We need a grocery store in the area. We talk about this all the time, that we see in South Dallas, Fair Park, that we see Walmart, neighborhood Walmart going up all over the place, but yet we can't get one in our area, but everyone else can get one. And I think something is wrong with that. I saw a program on Channel 13 about 2 weeks ago, and it was out of Detroit, and they were talking about the land issue and how in some neighborhoods where they were bulldozing houses, the community had organized there, and they were going in using that vacant land making deals with the city to grow food, organic food. In our community, we know, and in other communities, that diabetes kills us, and we have to change our diet. And the people are going in there, and they're doing that. And we have to start looking at other things. And secondly, I've got 17 seconds, I have been communicating with Dr. Terry Flowers. We've been having some very good conversations. I'm going to meet with them on next week, and we're going to move forward and accelerate this process. But anyway, that's mine for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grimshaw.
Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Azumba Lunt, William Hopkins, Robert Ciccarelli, Gwen Wooten, and LaCoya London.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. The title of the speech, Mayor, is A Great Trinity River Opportunity. And I believe that we were blessed with the presence of Gil Penalosa this morning, a consultant from Toronto, who shared with us how cities can make great parks. He also shared with us some cities around the world, Korea, Philadelphia, Boston, Malaysia, Seattle, who removed the blight of highways that get in the way of the park that the people want to be with. This book is my compilation of the last 8 years of the history of the fight, the Trinity River War. The first one, How the River Will Change Us Forever, in 2004, very optimistic. Then the next one from D Magazine was 2007, now it's the Trinity River War. In May, early May, there'll be another public hearing. There'll be 2 hours of socializing and talking, which will be really good, sharing ideas. And then there'll be a public hearing for people to speak their mind and talk about what's going on. I've come up with what I believe, and it's not just me. I'm from New York, and I was blessed to be in one of the cities that have some of the greatest architectural and engineering achievements in the world, reflecting the wisdom of Europe as well. And I'm not condemning Dallas. It's not about condemning Dallas. Dallas is, relatively speaking, a frontier city when you look at New York and European cities. And Dallas has come a long way. There's no question that Dallas has come a long way, but there is more work to be done. And again, Mr. Penalosa being here this evening, I think he's going to have some ideas, some comments when he starts realizing what the plans of some are with the Trinity River Project. There is a Solomon answer. I passed the flyer along to you, Mayor. And that is, if we have to have a bypass highway, then a tunnel is certainly something to consider. I'll leave it with this. I've been condemned by a lot of people, but I think when people get to know me, I'm not half as bad. This was written by Jim Schutz. I knew I went to Trinity, to the last night's Trinity toll the road debate for a reason. Just didn't think it'd be this one. See, on front burner today, we are given the following information in the post by Tim Rogers, writing about last night's Pave the Trinity wind dig. One guy who did ask a question identified himself as a civil engineer who moved here from New York. In New York, he said, they figured all this out. They used tunnels. He asked, why didn't we simply tunnel the road under the floodplain? Tom Leppard answered the question thusly. If you got $2 billion, we'll do it tomorrow. Well, back then, we were looking at the cost of the surface road in the flood zone being $1 billion. Now it's up to $2 billion. So we got the $2 billion. But maybe it'll be more than $2 billion. Boston is an example. Sussman, Professor Sussman, spent 30 years trying to get the two to the politicians. Let's get rid of the blight of the highway. Let's bury it. The price tag went up to $10 billion. Certainly there was one fatality, but because one bolt fell and killed somebody, that's not a reason to condemn the whole project. So I'm looking forward to this evening. I'm looking forward to the public hearing. And I'm looking forward to the possibility of Mayor, you and I sitting down and going through what I consider to be a book of somewhat good perspective on the Trinity River Project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunt. Would Mr. Hopkins and Mr. Ceccarelli please come closer to the podium? Thank you. You will be the next speaker.
Mayor, City Council, Ozumba Lunt. I live in Huntsville. I want to thank my councilman office for something they helped me do last week in my community. Thank you. I've been coming down here about 8 years now because I was assaulted in 2005. I was set up by police officers. I found out, well, I'm going to say peace officers because it was more than just Dallas police, constables also, about seven of them that I know, and I have witnesses to it. I know the defense law because I have been to the police academy and I'm a proud investigator like that. I have a proud investigator like that. Also, I know when you all do me wrong and turn the mic off, the things you all have done, Merrill, Leopard, Laura Miller, those things were criminal. They were criminal. You all are our leaders. You all are supposed to represent us, and you have been doing criminal things right down here in this council and getting away with it. And if you let them do it, that's an accomplice, like in a crime. It's wrong. I'm 66 years old. I know what was done to me was wrong. That is pitiful. But anyway, Jay Abbott, J-A-B-B-O-T-T, with daughter assaulted me. I was assaulted 3 times by daughter less than about 2 years. I'll give you, if you want to know, anybody want to ask me, I'll tell you about that. The city of Dallas assaulted me. Conrad Gerard James arrested me. I had probably a little light deal going on. I had cancer then. I was attacked by three young men were in a gang. Sure, they were all black, but Mike Dupree set it up. I even understand he set my son up to be robbed doing a drug deal back in 1998 because I ran for constable. I was harassed because of that. And because the constables came at me like that, Dupree called in. He'd been hanging with those guys. He knew those guys. He came from school. I stayed with them. He hung around there and tried to catch boys and stuff like that. And, then this thing happened. And everybody told me, police officer told me about a couple of cops in a constable, Ozumba, they will come back and get you. They will call problem in your family. And they have caused these problems. You know, and nothing was done. The guy that was pointing a Glock at me, nothing was done. In the police report, it was exhibit. I pulled a shotgun. I have deadly conduct. I had a right to protect myself. I know what the self-protection law is. And as today, I knew the Zimmer was wrong in what he did, but I wanted to wait until everything cooled down. If the operator say don't follow, that means don't follow. Don't go down the line next week and say he hit me upside the head and bust my head. the initial order was not to follow. And you were wrong. What happened down the line around the corner is another thing. You initiated it. So he was wrong. I could have got killed. Jay Albert. So the county owed me $1 million. City of Dallas owed me $1 million. And Dark owed me $1 million. I'm not a contortionist. Don't contort me and put cuffs on me. I know. I've been in the military. I was in the military 3 years. I was a sergeant. And I'm not a wimp. I used to travel with some of the special forces. I'm not a wimp. So if I think of a wimp, you know, hey, so be it. But, you know, I want some justice.
Thank you.
I check y'all out next week.
Thank you.
Tell you about our racist Dallas deal still.
Your next speaker is William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by Robert Ceccarelli, Wayne Wooten, and LaCoya London.
My name is William Hopkins. Mayor Rollins, if you every time somebody have a issue with the police department, you tell them to get Sergeant Anderson. You tell them, well, here goes Sergeant Anderson, and he'll help you. When I had you had told me to get with Sergeant Anderson to help me with my son when he was robbed at Kimball. I'm gonna ask for some more time for you and the city manager. I'm gonna ask you again for some more time. I know you and the city manager. I know y'all cool. So I'm gonna ask you again for some more time for you and Mary Soon disrespecting me and throwing me off from what I was trying to say, Mayor Rollins. Can I get an extra time for? You always,
I'm always patient. Just please keep talking. Thank you.
Sergeant Anderson, you tell the blacks to, you told Larry Mitchell to get with Sergeant Anderson about a police problem. You just told this black lady to get with Sergeant Anderson about a police problem. I told you when my son was robbed at Kimball High School with a hunting knife, I called 911 and Charles Cato was getting paid to work at Kimball High School when my son was robbed. He left him in the schools. Charles Cato and Officer Slim left the kid in the school that robbed my son and took me to jail. So you told me to get with Sergeant Anderson for him to help me with the police problem to try to figure out why did I go to jail and the kid that robbed my son and cut him, my son had about 30 or 40 stitches, and cut him up and robbed him, why did I go to jail? And the kid that robbed and cut up my son was still inside Kimball High School. So you had me to get with Sergeant Anderson to help me with this problem I've been trying to solve over the years. So Sergeant Anderson last week come out with a white man and tell me that he couldn't tell me, so he brought a white guy with him and tell me that they can't investigate the police. So do you or Mary Soon know anything about the police can't investigate the police? And if that's not true, I could let Sergeant Anderson use one or two of my minutes to come out and tell you that he told me that the police can't investigate the police. So if you want to use a minute of mine to see if Sergeant Anderson really did say that, you don't want to use it. Okay, then. So with that, blacks don't have no kind of nothing in Dallas. Your child could get robbed and cut up, and you call the police, and the white police take you to jail if you're a black parent. And nothing said, nobody say nothing. People dying in West Dallas, Mayor Rollins. I tell you that. So I go get a letter from, what's the man's name right there? What's your name, man? What? What's the city manager's name that's sitting right there? Tom Perkins.
Oh, he's
he don't even want to say nothing because he know where I'm going with this. He don't even want to tell me his name. You see where I'm going, Merle? Now watch what I'm going to do now. Tom Perkins give me a letter.
You got 45 more seconds. 45 more seconds.
45 seconds?
Yes.
Please, Dwayne, can you give me a minute instead of 45 seconds? Dwayne, can you? I'm going to ask you for a minute. 1 minute. Can I get 1 minute?
You got 1 minute.
Yes. Appreciate you, Dwayne. Here I go. Let me go with this. Tom Perkins just gave me a letter saying that the city of Dallas did everything they could to help you with the lead and with the RSR. But I already gave you a letter, Mayor Rollins, where the city of Dallas sued the RSR lead company in 83. But And then some, I got a letter from the city where you didn't have nothing to do with the lead. It was Linda Bates. Me, myself, and Linda Bates a letter where the city didn't have nothing to do with the lead. Now here go another letter from Tom Perkins where y'all did everything y'all could for the lead. So somebody lying. So what I'm going to do, Mayor Rollins, I'm going to go to the FBI, and I'm going to show them where Fred Byron and Russell Budd hired James Saginaw for the EPA. And they was helping with the people with the lead. And I'm going to show them this letter from the city, and I'm going to show them the other letter from the city where the city didn't have nothing to do with it, Merle Rollins. And then here go another letter from Tom Perkins saying that y'all did everything y'all could. But the 0 to 6 and the pregnant women y'all say y'all did, them the same people that Russell Budd and Fred Byron did in their lawsuit. So
thank
some
you.
Kind of way you helping Fred Byron them, and I'm going to go to the FBI, and I'm going to ask them to help me, Merle Rollins.
Thank you. Okay, your time's up. Appreciate it.
Merle Rollins, I'm going to the FBI.
Please
and
do.
I'm going to ask them to help.
Please do. Thank
please
you.
Do. Okay.
Your next speaker is Robert Ciccarelli. Mr. Ciccarelli will be followed by Gwayne Wooten and LaCoya London.
Good afternoon. Robert Ciccarelli, 5302 Harry Hines Boulevard. This morning, I just came from a small MDHA meeting at the library. We need your help. This Friday, 10:30, library. Okay, I've been asking a lot of you to come. If anyone comes, I'm asking everybody, House Committee, or some of you to show up, please, because right now it's a dead end as far as what's going on with the homeless motivation. Right now, if you show up, I promise you.
Hey, Mr. Sheridan, thank you, Mr. Sheridan,
I'm not going to have that.
I experienced something this hell too, so I understand where he's coming from. She don't like me either, so. Okay, well, what I'm trying to say to you is, if no one shows up, nothing can be done at the meeting. People have to show up to control the purse strings, so that way when the homeless do see you, they'll have some spark in their eye. It's the same thing every month, arguing about the bridge, and you'll see what goes on as far as what the problems with the bridge are. 2 weeks ago, two people just spoke here about the bridge, and I saw some movement among the city council members. I've been trying to do that for a year, but I haven't any movements until these two people showed up 2 weeks ago. I would just hope that you take me seriously, all right? It's a 10:30 to 12, it's only an hour and a half. You don't have to say anything. Just be there, please. Anyone can show up and just sit in the back and listen to what goes on with the homeless at the bridge, and you'll get a consensus of what the problems are with the bridge and with the homeless. One more thing, school district board 9 elections. It's very contentious. It's going to be a very active election. It's going to be very highly controversial and very emotional. I was at the meeting a week ago Monday with me and the mayor were there, and the person got thrown out. It's going to be very, how can I call it? It's going to be a lot of verbal back and forth, and whoever wins, it's not going to be pretty, all right, because you have a 19-year-old might win, it's going to set up a lot of problems, you might have missed, not all of them might win, and you got problems with the parents, with the closure of the school. But I just would hope that all your city council members, what Lincoln High School is doing next year is that they're going to have a 25-minute tutoring period right after the instruction period. So every class is going to have tutoring. I would hope all you city council members would go for all the middle schools and high schools in your area to do that, because each period will have tutoring right after that for 30 minutes. That will make Dallas a very high urban district. There will be a role model across the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ciccarelli.
Your next speaker is Gwayne Wooten. Ms. Wooten will be followed by LaCoya London.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwayne Wooten. And I was downtown last week when I was looking at Ellen Street, and I was remembering how Dallas used to be. I remember how people used to walk up and down the street, candy, Russell Stover, Candace Lee, optical, department stores, shoe stores, 5 and 10 stores. You could get popcorn downtown, chili dogs, hot dogs, hamburgers. I mean, it was a city. And I went down there. There was just some restaurants and some raggedy old buildings down there, with the exception of Main Street. Now, I don't know who's city plan in this city, and I don't know where they came from, because this is not a downtown. The only place you can get a pair of shoes in downtown Dallas is at Neiman Marcus. In the 7th largest city in the United States of America, the only place you can buy a pair of shoes, women's shoes, is at Neiman Marcus. Now, if you all are designing a city where only people who can shop in Neiman Marcus are supposed to be living in this city, then that's not a city. A city is the internal organ of the community. It's a combination of everybody and everything. And it was that in the 50s and the 40s and the 60s. And now it's kind of like an apartheid town. I read The House of Bondage. That's how I knew about apartheid. That was the first time I heard about it. Now, anyone who has an apartheid mentality in this city is sick. It's sick. All the black folks crossed the river, across 30. I went to a hearing last Thursday at the library concerning housing, and everybody black there was across 30. Lobbying for housing development in the South Dallas, as if poverty-stricken people do not live north of 30. We do. We live north of 30. We need representation down here. Hispanics have a culture where they live together. Generations, grandmothers, daughters, children, grandchildren, they live together. So it's not as difficult for them to pay this outstanding rent as it is for African Americans who were taught to be divided. We're having problems living on this side of the river over here. Now, I don't know what minorities think about African Americans living north of 30, but I care. And when people come down here and talk about their history and Staten Thomas and African Americans don't say nothing, that just, it does something to me. It's as if Robert E. Lee tried to live with the Emancipation Proclamation, because Mr. Carroll, I really want, well, I'm going to use you in this scenario, because the black people in this city has done exactly what you have done, from Mayor Pro Tem to Mayor Pro to Mayor, and now City Council member. That's where we are. And if we were mayor once, we should be able to lead ourselves again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Woods.
Your next speaker is Lakoya London, not present. Mr. Mayor, that concludes your speaker.
We will adjourn at 1:52 p.m. Thank you very much.